and its thoughts.
Do not sell out. And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another iteration, if you will, of Glorious Day, a program that we've designed. Pastor Barry and Pastor Barry is here.
Hi.
Hey, there he is. And I'm Pastor David. And you know, we just had God put it on our hearts to get people ready for the coming revival and help the church prep, get back to some basics, you know, good foundational stuff. And that's what God's giving us.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last two sessions, we've been talking about the coming event, which actually this particular program is the day after Christmas, the 26th.
That's right, the 26th.
But we all know that Christmas is an issue for all year long, really for as long as we're alive. And because the season, many churches, used to be a traditional thing that there was the 12 days of Christmas.
You know,
there's one of those hymns that people sing.
We're not going to sing that, though.
No, we're not going to sing it.
You don't
I'm not even going to hum it. No. I don't.
I
want to keep our listenership. I don't know.
No, I think all seven people would catch on fire, David.
but we know this season. We just wanted to look into the scriptures that speak to the birth of Christ. And so, the first session we did on the 12th of December was looking at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel told Mary
right
what God intended for her and all that went with that. Then last week we talked about her visit with her cousin Elizabeth,
right,
and all the neat stuff that was going on there. And we probably could have talked for several hours just on,
as David likes to put it, unpacking that scripture could take up about four or five programs.
It could. But tonight we're going to read, I'm going to read the story of the birth of Christ as it's found in the Gospel of Luke. It is a lengthy reading. I mean, there's several verses in this. There's 20 verses, I guess.
20 beautiful verses.
But they're beautiful, powerful verses. And then when I'm done, and we're trusting the Spirit in this. I'll tell you a little secret, folks. We didn't mention this the last two sessions, but Barry and I work out what we're going to be doing. We always record three programs, put them in the bank, as we call it. And I had three outlines that
and they
I
were
put
good
together.
Outlines.
They were good outlines, but we got together right here in the studio getting ready to record the first thing, and Barry started talking about, you know, Christmas. And then I realized, you know, wow, yeah, our last program that we're going to record is going to play the day after Christmas. So we just put it all off to the side. We had a little tete-a-tete where we got our heads together with the Bible, and we came out with these scriptures, and of course they're powerful. So
I believe this is a Holy Spirit moment, folks, because he fills us up if we allow him.
Yes.
And brings his message to your ears. That's our goal, is to get out of the way. Amen.
And so often, you know, we'll look at each other at the end of a recording and we'll say, what did we say?
we don't remember.
Because, and we have a good time with each other and we go back and forth. And this is how we're good friends and we're co-pastors and we're brothers in Christ. And we just do this every time we get together. So I'm delighted we can share this.
Too,
and
David,
I hope it's a blessing for you. And anyway, let me go back on track.
Okay.
So this is a reading from the Gospel of Luke. It's the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. It's the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen, as it had been told them. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, the thing that has always struck me first about this reading is that we know Jesus is the Messiah. How do I know? Because I know.
I know too.
I believe.
He told me to? Yeah.
Because in my heart, God has revealed to me it's true. So here was the Messiah that had been longed for by Israel for hundreds of years, literally right. Promised in prophecy. And when the angels of God appear to reveal the birth of the Messiah, to whom do they come? Not to the kings or the princes or the chief priests.
Right.
Or any of the other leaders of the Jews. They come to a bunch of poor and humble shepherds.
Yeah, Jesus was not born in the temple.
No.
There's a contemporary Christian song. I don't know all the words, but one of the lines in it that came to me concerning this was, "O Bethlehem, what did you miss while you were sleeping?
Yeah.
For God became a man and stepped into your world of days." If this happened today, right now, and you know, let's just say that this didn't happen until the year 2021, and it happened in America. For all we don't know. It happened in America. Would anybody recognize that this event just occurred? No. It wouldn't be on the news at night.
Definitely not these days.
No matter how hard you look for it. But, you know, in the context of Israel, maybe the Lord, I shouldn't say maybe, the Lord knew they wouldn't get it. Not like that.
No, and not at that time.
You wouldn't see the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, hauling up the hill trying to get to that manger to worship. He knew that wouldn't happen like that.
Oh, yeah, he knew that.
But the lowest of the low and the poorest of the poor, that's where Jesus is present now.
Yeah.
The lowest of the low. I've often thought about this, that when I'm involved with a feeding ministry and when I go over to this place where we're handing out this food, I encourage the young volunteers coming in, look for the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you ask Jesus to show himself, he will.
Yeah.
In this instance, here at the manger, I'm trying to count in my mind. That was five people, maybe six people. We'll make a stretch, seven. I don't know how many shepherds there were, but, you know, just a small little handful of people were there to witness this.
Yeah.
This event that was going to change the world forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And talk about an intimate little scene.
Well, you see the contrast between a worldview and a God view about the Messiah, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you can move ahead in the Gospels to when Jesus was baptized by John, his cousin,
right,
30-some years after his birth. And then he was, as the Spirit, Mark, I love the way Mark writes it, because as the Spirit drove him out into the desert on a retreat, 40 right. days of fasting. And while he was out there, he was tempted by the devil. And what he was tempted with was the secular view of what the Messiah was supposed to be.
Right.
That teaching God had given them centuries ago had sort of morphed into, oh, the Messiah is going to be a warrior king who's going to come and deliver us from our oppressors, you know?
That's a twist.
Well, if you look at the heart of the revelation of God's saving love throughout history, throughout the history of the Jews, you can see Jesus in that.
Right.
And then now you see Jesus, who he really was, what he was being presented to the world, the true Messiah, was not a warrior king who was going to deliver Israel from the Romans, who were their current oppressors,
right,
but who was going to do a much deeper work by, for those who would receive him, that and accept him as the Lord and Savior of their lives and repent, you know, and give their lives to him. They were going to be delivered from the core issues that afflict all of humanity, which is the debt that we owe God because of our sin, the death sentence that comes with that.
True.
So this Messiah was going, and his course ultimately the journey would lead to the cross.
And his death of being born was to die.
Would be a sacrifice for that sin, and really the only thing we have to do to avoid suffering the penalty of our sin is to ask Jesus into our hearts.
Amen, brother. And, you know, yeah. Also, when you look at this, the only person in these readings, in these scriptures, that was present at the birth and then the death of Christ is Mary.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was there for both. No one else was. Not in this context of what we're just reading here. No.
No.
And, you know, I also think about the fact that they were obedient. Joseph and Mary were obedient to what they needed to do in the secular world.
Yeah.
You know, just going, whether it's paying your taxes or filling out the form on the census, you know, that we still do to this day.
Yes.
You know, they were rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, I guess, that kind of a deal where, but she traveling at 9 months pregnant on a little donkey. This is a strong woman, David.
Well, I think that they were, all the people in that day were strong because they had to work for everything that they had.
Amen. Now, I get tired looking for the remote control.
I know,
I got to
And then when
break.
You pick it up, it's heavy.
It's heavy, yeah.
All those heavy batteries in there, yeah, right.
They were just stronger people.
They were all over.
The Holy Spirit was running all the way through this plan. I wonder if Joseph was even amazed at how strong this young woman was. To give birth by herself, I think if you ask any woman, what do you think of giving birth all by yourself? It's probably a terrifying prospect.
I'm sure Joseph brought some level of expertise into that, too. Mm-hmm. He had to participate. I don't think Mary was going to let him sit back and watch. You know, when I was present when our daughter was being born, you know, my wife was, we had other people there, so I wasn't really depending on me, but she was right there. She was eyes open. You know, she was... she was calling shots.
Oh yeah.
You know, she was present. She was, and she got a little angry occasionally because of the motion, the swaying of hormones and stuff. But I think Mary was saying, Joseph, help, do this, do that.
Yeah, get me this, give me
you
that.
Know, help me because, and he had to. I'm sure he did willingly, but.
Oh yeah, it's a loving husband.
Loving husband, and so that all that came about. It was another thing. You know, I was speaking of the. Again, in this one story, there's so many layers.
Yes, there is.
Another layer is that the shepherds, who up until maybe an hour prior or whatever it took them to get from their field to the manger in Bethlehem, you know, they had no clue what was happening. But the angels came, and shared with them. And, you know, then they said, well, let's go check this out for ourselves. When they got there, they knew immediately, you know, what the angels had said was true, again, because the Holy Spirit gave them that faith, the gift of faith, so they knew that little baby in that trough that someone would put hay in to feed the donkey or the cow or whatever.
Yeah.
That little baby was the Christ. Now, that's from the Greek, Christos, which is a translation from the Hebrew, the Messiah.
True.
So that this was their Messiah right there. And they were so excited then. What did they do? They went downtown and evangelized.
I find that amazing. And I want to talk to them when I get to heaven, David.
Yeah,
well, I keep telling you, I want to talk to the B, the C, and the D actors. We don't have names, but I'm sure if you're, you know, if you ask, and God will say, oh, they're right over there. You know,
probably.
And they're
still
excited.
They're still excited, even more so, I would think. You know, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come back. After they've gone into town, they come back, and I read this, it says, and the shepherds returned. Now, listen to that. And glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told them. Because then the whole thing was complete for them.
And again, this message of love and grace and hope and salvation is dispensed to shepherds, fishermen, blue-collar workers, uneducated people, no one in the temple, none of the higher-ups. You know, they had their higher-ups, David, and none of them. But to the folks, we'll call them the folks. I want to be one of the folks.
Yes.
I want to know more. Like you said, we want to see the face of Christ. I want to be someone who accepts this, as you said, in a childlike way, in an innocent way, without all the stuff, as these guys did.
Oh, yeah.
Lowly shepherds. They're called lowly shepherds.
It's that they're humble. You know, they truly were humble.
You know, I've been seeing TV commercials lately, David. You know, we're getting closer to the 25th. And I hear expressions on TV that usually rub me the wrong way. But in the Christmas season, even they're rubbing even tougher on me. I'm getting a rash. How's this, for example? In this Christmas season, you deserve the best.
Oh, yeah.
You deserve this. You deserve that. Make her dreams come true. All this stuff. The secular people, atheists, celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Atheists are celebrating Christmas. So all I can say about that is this. Be brave, courageous, and don't be afraid to make the statement. Christ is the reason for Christmas. That's why we have all these lights up and people are running about.
Yeah.
It's all about Jesus.
It is all about Jesus. Now, I want to share with you something that I just remembered and I had to...
What you got over there, David?
Well, thank God for my phone. You know, it's got all kinds of stuff. I have Bible Gateway on it. But several years ago, in fact, I drew a Christmas card.
David draws, by the way.
I do cartoon. It was cartoony, but in a nice way, you know. But I wanted to do a scene. I wanted to do the Christmas scene at the manger with the, when the shepherds came back from their evangelizing, you know, in Bethlehem. What made me do that is that I was reading the message. Now, the message is a paraphrase. It's not a direct translation. Eugene Peterson, I think, was the author of that. And he wrote it. I mean, it's a good paraphrase in terms of really understanding things because he wrote it in common everyday language. But I'm going to read this about the shepherds when they returned, what he wrote. And I'm going to make a connection.
Please do.
With something we talked about last week. Okay?
Yes.
So it says, Mary, the shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they'd heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. But they returned and let loose.
I like that.
I like that too. But in the Christmas card that I drew, the shepherds, where they were dancing, they were leaping. And then I was just thinking, well, that's a kind of a common response people have to the presence of God. Like when in the womb, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leapt in the presence of Jesus. And so I like the way, and I think he was taking what the original Greek, was, and he was, I think probably maybe loosening the define a little bit, but I think it was an appropriate understanding of what the shepherds were doing. They were celebrating.
Celebrating. And when you have the Holy Spirit running through you, you can't sit still.
You can't.
You can't. David, I got to share something with you. When I was a baby, I was sprinkled in a baptism. Mm-hmm. Okay. But prior to studying to become a deacon and whatnot, I requested several burly men to take me to the beach and baptize me.
Yeah.
And you know these guys. And they took me down there. And they said, "Why do you want to do this?" And I said, "I want to make the connection. I want to make not just a public statement of faith. It wasn't that. What I wanted to do was reconnect with God and thank Him for all He's done and just embrace Him." Well, my friends, when you get two big burly men who know you too well and like to tease you, they held me underwater just long enough where I got a little concerned. But then something occurred. It was a supernatural moment, and my life was changed forever.
Yeah.
And I was so overwhelmed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that I took off running down the beach. Now, if you knew the people that I was being baptized by, you know that they're not runners.
Yeah.
They probably haven't run for a good 40 years. But I couldn't speak, but I was so full of joy, I could not stop crying.
Mm.
So going back to these guys letting loose, I fully understand that. Because as paltry, little, fragile human beings, we can't handle the Holy Spirit at that level. It's overwhelming to our frail nature. And something's got to move. You got to bust a move, I guess, David. You just got to. And that's healthy, and it's joyous.
We need more joy. We need to open up to that joy of the Spirit and allow God, allow it to move through us. And especially, you know, we're getting back to focusing on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Not, celebrate it every day. But on the day when the church has selected, you know, seems arbitrary, but doesn't really matter to me.
No, it doesn't matter.
Because on that day, we've decided you were going to thank God profusely for saving us, sending Jesus and all that He did, and to really make it a celebration. You know, I mean, I know people that they're so nonplussed by this event. You know, it's like, you know, wait a minute.
I've heard that story before, right?
But I think it's, you know, they really haven't been caught up in the truth.
Hey, even that little Charlie Brown Christmas special that's been on for the last 65 years, when little Lioness goes to read the Gospel of Luke, I still get chills when I watch that because the whole program stops in its tracks. It's not for fun and games anymore.
No.
I mean, that was such a bold thing for Charles Schulz to do.
He was a believer, Charles.
Yeah. And guess what I'm going to do, folks? I'm going to give you the real meaning of Christmas right here in the middle of this cartoon. Oh, share this with your friends. Share this with your coworkers. Share it with your family. Share it with the unchurched.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to say this to everybody, because obviously everybody's listening. But particularly, I'm concerned, if you're listening and you have heard yourself being described as one of those nonplussed people that, you do the event, you know, you go to church, maybe you go to a midnight service or whatever, or the next day or whatever, and you go through the motions and you leave unchanged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you just this once to, before you go to any Christmas Eve services or any Christmas Day services, or even right now when you might even be thinking, well, maybe I'll deign to show up, you know, in the church and darken the door. You know, I mean, I'm certainly not messing with you or denigrating you, but I just want to say.
No, but you're painting a picture.
Yeah, if that's where you are, look, be courageous. Only you and God need to know you're going to ask for this. But ask God to give you the gift of faith to fully, and maybe for the first time in your life, appreciate what we're celebrating in the birth of Christ. I'll tell you right now that what God will do for you is something you may not be able to explain when you've experienced it.
Sometimes the human language doesn't, it's not equipped to handle you know, godly stuff.
And maybe you're not supposed to explain it. Maybe you're supposed to be like those shepherds who received the revelation from the angels, checked it out for themselves, recognized that it was what the angels said, were so excited, they went into town and told everybody.
That's right.
You know, and then they came back, and I love, again, the message, and they let loose. And that letting loose was the best explanation they had for what was going on, that they couldn't give it words, but in their celebration, their whole bodies witnessed.
That's right.
To the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah. And friends, he didn't come just for those shepherds. He came for you. For you.
Amen, right, David. Now.
Ooh, man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. I'm going to have to, I would love to close us in prayer. And I,
please do, David.
As the time goes on. But I, Father God, I just so thankful. Lord, may all of us who are listening tonight experience a level of thankfulness and praise and appreciation for what, how much you love us, that you sent your son to die on a cross for our sins. And but prior to that, that he was born of a woman and given fully human as well as fully God elements, and his, that he was both all the time and still is. And that, that, Lord, that this gift to us, this greatest Christmas gift ever, that the only Christmas gift that we don't have to pay because the price has already been paid for us on the cross. Father God, I pray that, that there are hearts that will open up at this Christmas celebration that have been closed heretofore, but like the light of the sun shining on a plant would coax open the flowers so that they would bloom and receive the fullness of the sun. I pray there are souls out there right now, Father God, that you want to bless with that light of life, that they would open up to you and would know a life that they only thought, they hoped that they could have. And yet, in receiving Christ, the light of the world, they now have that life that they've always hungered for. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our Savior is born.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas. Holy Christmas. And enjoy your time with your families, but more importantly, enjoy your time in prayer and great thanksgiving for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And have an incredibly blessed and even prosperous new year.
Amen.
And we'll talk to you next time.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.